Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 gets your board. Lots to discuss this morning, or now this afternoon. All right, coming up an hour from now, we will get to Buster Only ESPN. He was set to join us a couple days ago, but then Joel Embiid, the team meeting, Maxi, the whole thing.
Stuff happened.
Yeah, stuff happened. So Buster was kind enough to push his spot back with us. We'll ask him about the Alec Bohm rumors. Is he out of here? And what could the Phillies get for a guy like Alec Bohm? And the latest on Juan Soto. So news came out a couple days ago. Phillies are going to get a meeting with Soto. Now feels like it's picking up a little steam. The Phillies might really be in this thing for Juan Soto. We'll talk about all that with Buster Only coming up at 1 o'clock. Kiss the baby later on the show before week 12 of the season begins. And we got to get to the latest on Jalen Hurts, who was on the injury report yesterday with an ankle, limited with an ankle. We'll hear from Jalen and how the Eagles are trying to keep him healthy for the stretch run of the season. All right, back to your phone calls on Sirianni. Would you extend him now? His contract only has 1 year left after the season. And of course, Joel Embiid, I'm ready to tank this thing. Sit him down. This season has been a joke so far. They're 2-12. George is hurt again now. The same knee George is hurt again. So I'm ready to tank this season. Wave that white flag for Cooper Flag. But so we opened the show today, you know, reading some of the quotes from Embiid after the game last night, because for some reason, camera wasn't in there. I don't know why. I'm not sure if PR with the Sixers tried to get involved, or it just happened to be one of those nights where everyone covering the game that covers the Sixers just didn't have their iPhones out with camera. Like, there's no video or audio, or at least we couldn't find any, of Joel Embiid. We have the quotes, you know, from reputable sources, like, you know, people that cover the league nationally and including the Philadelphia Inquirer. So we read those quotes today from Joel Embiid last night after the game, calling the person who leaked the message from the other night a piece of bleep.
A bad person.
Yeah, we could put in the word you want there, but a piece of bleep was said there by Joel Embiid. But luckily, how about this? This was so kind, wasn't it? We kept reading the quotes, but it's always better on the air if you can hear them. So is it, we have a voicemail, or Joel Embiid called in?
Yeah, he dropped by, left the voicemail, you know, because he knew we were going to be looking for this audio today. So he did us a favor and just basically repeated exactly what he said.
Let's hear it.
Last night.
Well, whoever leaked this is a real piece of shit. We talked about a lot of things. I don't want to get into details, but the whole thing with Maxi, that probably took 30 seconds. But then again, it's Joel Embiid, so we got to make everything blown out of proportion. It's whatever. I'll take it all. I'm the reason for everything, so I'll take the blame for everything. It's fine.
You know, I really that is the first time I appreciated Joe all season.
Nice. That was,
that was
nice.
Kind to him, Hugh, to call in and leave that voicemail.
Man, that was crazy. Joe Conklin is crazy. Crazy
is.
Guy, man.
He is. See Joe Conklin's comedy show at St. Albert the Great Parish on Welsh Road in Huntington Valley on Saturday, January 11th, and St. Dennis Parish on Eagle Road in Havertown on Saturday, January 18th. For tickets, go to joeconklin.com. That's your neck of the woods.
My neck of the woods.
Yeah? You going to go?
Yeah.
Let me get tickets.
Are you going to ask for free tickets? Because you should. I mean, he should give you tickets because you know this.
You know what? He should.
He should give you tickets.
I agree.
You guys angling for free Joe Conklin tickets. He did that once. He did.
I opened for him before.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You should go up there and tell a couple jokes.
Make sure I don't want to upstage him.
You know? Yeah, of course not. You don't want the opening act to be bigger than the actual act. 215-592-9494. Joe with the voicemail there from Joel Embiid. Now, Joe's Joel is very good. I could hear that. That even as the inflection, I could, even though I didn't get to hear Joel last night, I think that was it. Let's go to the phone lines here. Let's talk to John in Philly up on WIP. Hey, John.
Hey, Joe. What's going on, Hugh?
What's up, John?
Man? Hey, guys. I just, this Nick Sirianni talk week after week, I just can't understand it. I'm not sure what you guys want out there that he hasn't done. You know, there's been one coach that's won the Super Bowl the last 2 years. You just look around the league. I mean, who would you rather have than Nick Sirianni?
You want me to reel them all off?
So let me ask you, LaFleur, McDermott, Campbell.
I think I would take
Shanahan?
Definitely take Shanahan. I mean, there's no question.
Okay. So yeah, Shanahan, not comparing Nick to these guys from a success standpoint, because he hadn't had as much time, McDermott and LaFleur do not have winning records in the playoffs. These guys, LaFleur, Shanahan, Campbell, all got contract extensions well before their contracts were up. You wait till after the playoffs this year, you have a chance of losing Kellen Moore. There's a good chance our DB's coach is gone. So now you're left with Nick Sirianni on his fourth set of coordinators in the next year. Now, Fangio will probably be back.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the guy has built a culture around here. You don't hear any of this stuff. Yeah, it's great that we have a great roster, but sometimes the more talent you have, the harder it is to manage that. The biggest thing we had coming into the season was, oh, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni don't get along. They're not seeing eye to eye. He seems to have fixed that, has he not?
It seems like that. Well, that's certainly the conversation around that and the tone from both of them, specifically Jalen. That, yeah, John, that has calmed down. And John, I understand your point. You make a good point on McDermott, who hasn't reached the Super Bowl yet. He got an extension. I'm guessing, John, this is trending towards that for Sirianni. But let me just say, I just want to say something you're saying in a different way, right? You're kind of framing the Sirianni thing. John, right now, it's 3.5 years in, so we're about to finish year four. As of today, in one of his seasons, he's won a playoff game. And the two playoff wins he has are against Daniel Jones and a fourth-string quarterback. Like, can I see this play out?
Yes.
Because
the second win he had was against Brock Purdy, who we knocked out. Then their backup came in, who got knocked out.
Sure.
That's the culture of the team he built, is to knock their quarterback
out.
Well,
all right. It was an injury.
Play for him.
I understand, I mean, they play hard for him. But, John, let's play out. I think they're going to win a playoff game this year. If they lose in the playoffs, 4 years with a top five-ish roster, 1 year of playoff victories, that's good enough?
No, it's not. And the thing I'm trying to say, I don't know who brought in these guys last year. Obviously, last year, the coordinator thing is a mess. I'm not saying Sirianni's done enough to get a coaching tree, but look at what Gannon and Steichen are doing. He clearly had an impact on those guys. They worked well together. They've been pretty successful coaches.
Yep.
I mean, Nick's had to rebuild that coaching staff and a new system year after year, and he's the stable force that's kept this team competitive. Granted, he's got his faults. Don't get me wrong. You know, he's not what Andy Reid is. Andy Reid didn't do too much when he started. Now the rosters were different. I mean, we had Hugh, of course. But, I mean, it took Andy Reid as long as it did for him to win a Super Bowl. He got to one, had a little bit of success in the playoffs starting out. I look around the league and I see some of these other coaches and these systems change, and I'm not that impressed. And all Sirianni has done here is win. And it's just the Eagles' way to re-up their guys and not wait till the last minute.
And they probably will, John. If they win the division, John, good phone call. Win the division, win a playoff game this year. I imagine we'll hear after the season a Sirianni contract. Can I just cause a little break for 1 second? A little timeout.
What you got?
Okay, well, you lived this, Hugh. I observed it, but you lived it. He was saying when Andy got here, it took him a little time to get going. Nick's done more quickly than Andy did, right?
Hmm?
Well, that was his point, was Nick got to a Super Bowl quicker. Nick won games quicker than... But can we take a deep breath on the situation each inherited? Like, when Nick Sirianni got here, there was Lane Johnson, there was Jason Kelsey, there was Brandon Graham.
Yeah, he had some ballers.
There was Devontae Smith, or they drafted him right away. There was Jalen Hurts. When Andy Reid walked in the door, the offense, I mean, we can go back and look at the 99 Eagles, but, like, come on now. Like,
we had a defense.
We had
some defensive players. But he had something to build with.
What about the other side? You could be honest.
We had to get a quarterback. We went and drafted Donovan.
Yeah, they didn't have nearly as much.
Chad Lewis was a guy who was a cast-off that Andy brought back, Coach Reid brought back, and made him a Pro Bowler. We had Torrance Small.
Charles Johnson.
And Charles Johnson. As our receivers. Deuce Staley was starting to come into his own. So we didn't have a whole lot. And we won games. I think what's lost on people is this. Is that when you look around the league and you look at the Eagles roster, even their record reflects this, but they are the absolute most talented roster offensively in the NFL, if you ask me. You know, when you talk about the offensive line and the receiving corps. But yet and still, it feels not just a – see, like, people – it feels like when we talk about this, people feel like it's a us thing. It's not a us thing. It's a national thing. When people look at this team and the roster that they've amassed, they've done – and let's not forget, the Eagles did something last year that was unprecedented, that has never been done in the league before, so much so that when they did it, people thought – they was like, wow, that's a first. And that's why the narrative is what it is. They got two top 10 receivers on the squad. They paid both of them. Most teams historically don't do that. In the past, they didn't do that. The Eagles did that. So, with all of that being said, when we ask the question or say, is this team underachieving, it's because of all of that talent that they have on this roster. It's not saying that Coach Sirianni is doing a bad job, but it's one of those things where it's. I don't think it's out of pocket to ask how different it would look if it was, say, the coach we're playing this weekend, Sean McVay, if he was coaching the team. I don't think that's out of pocket, because you look at Coach McVay and what he's done. So I feel like people aren't looking at this for what it actually is. He's been gifted a hell of a roster.
Well, I think it's part of why, and you might say this is unfair, it's part of why you look right now at the odds, the top 10 to win Coach of the Year, he's not even listed. I mean, he's not even, the perception is, and maybe it's unfair, but the perception is, this is not hard to do, right? You're here, you should win games.
And part of it is because a lot of, Nick is being penalized because a lot of people don't like him. Let's just call it what it is. He's considered to be an arrogant guy, and that's why I think that a lot of people, when they call to defend Coach Sirianni, they think that's probably the narrative that me and you are taking. I don't feel that way. I mean, I get that. I think all the questions that we're asking here are valid questions when it comes to the football team, because the narrative has been set.
Can I throw one thing out? Because we were talking about what we would do. Why don't we think they've extended him? I mean, he's their coach. They like everything Kyle has argued, they see it, right?
Well, I think this is sort of the prove it here, right?
Right. So, and then that's why I think this, as soon as the season ends, he's going to get extended.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any chance they let him be a lame duck.
I don't think so either.
I don't think
they shouldn't.
Well, he's an emotional person. I don't know if emotional people handle that kind of stress well. And this, right?
Yeah.
The pressure of this town, if we know the coach. Look what happened to Joe Girardi when he was a lame duck.
Mm-hmm.
The guy just lost his mind.
That's the downside of not extending him. Like, if we are correct and that this window's open for a while and next year might even be their best year, best chance to win a Super Bowl, you don't want to add the pressure of being a lame duck on the head coach. Like, the best thing the Eagles can do for themselves after the season is continuity next season. We saw what that did for us in 2022. We had continuity on the coaching staff. Like, if next year is truly their best opportunity, they need to make Nick Sirianni feel secure, whether they do it now, whether they do it in the offseason, whatever. But extending Nick Sirianni needs to be one of their top priorities. And I'll just add this, because we're talking about the roster thing,
mm-hmm.
and it's not hard to do. I'm not saying you guys are saying this, but like, was it easy to do when they lost six of their last seven games with tons of talent on the roster last year? Like, it's not that easy of a job. Like, things can go badly. Like, he is getting a lot out of the talent on this team.
He's not underachieving. I mean,
he's definitely not doing that. But I feel like that's probably a part of the reason why they're assessing it the way that they're doing, because we still don't know what happened at the end of last season.
Well, and we also, I think we all feel really good about where they're going right now.
Yeah.
We also, we're 10-1 last year, and I understand the details of this look way stronger. They have a way stronger defense, and they're healthier, and they should finish well this year.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm Howie and I'm Jeff, I'm like, all right, let's this get to the finish line.
I also think we pretty much at this point know damn well what happened at the end of last year. The coordinators were turds, and the roster was aging.
Turds is
and the
de- so
the defense was horrendous. It was horrendous, and this defense is now good.
Turds is ridiculous.
The coordinators,
turd coordinators,
they were.
Oh,
man.
Guys, speaking of, you know, I forgot to bring something up, and then we'll go back to the phone lines. Remember, was it 10 days ago or 7 days ago? We talked about how it was the Brian Johnson revenge game.
Yes.
Do you guys have any idea? Because I didn't until yesterday. Do you know where Sean Desai is right now?
Sean Desai?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
He's on the Rams defensive staff.
Uh-oh.
The Sean Desai revenge game.
Oh, yeah,
he's
so scared.
Coming at y'all. He's coming at y'all.
I had to bring
was
it
he
up.
Scapegoated too? Dude, the Rams, young defense of the Rams, man. They're playing well. Jared.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
First rookie of the year. We probably scapegoated Sean Desai.
I actually think he got a raw deal. To fire him for Patricia, they should have just let Desai finish it out.
Yeah, that was kind of
wild. I mean, like, what was the point?
That was what they called, nasty work.
Yeah, like, but, and he wasn't doing a good job either.
I'm sort of just digging at the Brian Johnson conversation.
I'm just saying, back-to-back revenge games?
When Brian Mitchell and Finley were saying that he was scapegoated last year, get real. Sorry.
Kind of was. All right, Josh in Wilmington. What's up, Josh?
Hey, boys. What's going on?
Hey,
what's
Josh.
So, not a whole lot, but I'll tell you what, man. How many times, like, over the past little while, you know, like, I'm like, trying to find a thought to chime in, right? So I want to kind of hang with, well, I want to just chime in on both, right? Mm-hmm. Nick Sirianni, I look, I'm with Kyle. You know, we've had success. The players really, really rally behind him. I don't think a change at head coach at this point with what has been established is even should, I mean, I don't mind Nick. You know, it's unconventional.
He don't mind. You know? He don't bother.
I don't mind him.
Yeah, he can stay if he wants. Yeah, I don't mind him. He's all right.
No, listen, Joe. I mean, I don't get me wrong, man. I've been visceral, right? And like we all have. But at the end of the day, it's not like, oh, here we go. Let's fire a head coach. And then we just pluck one off of the street, for lack of a better term.
Timu.
And
shake a tree, like Howard would say. You shake a tree, and you find a head coach.
Shake a tree, and then, you know, whatever, the biggest piece of fruit that falls out of the tree, oh, well, that's the winner, and there we go. We got that one. Well, I don't think that any of that is necessary. One, because, again, you look at the way that this team is coming together now, and I'm going to tell you, I feel something special. And I've been, you know, and I've been awfully, you know, on the fence. But I'm going to, you know, I have that weird feeling that this Eagles team is going to really make us happy come the end of the season. It's just one of those years where things are starting. The wheels are under the wagon enough right now. The train is moving. Let's just see how it plays out. Now, extend them right now. I don't think that's ideal. However, I don't believe that if he finishes the season with one playoff victory, that they're going to can him. It's just not something that I feel is going to be in their cards. Now,
I think you're right, Josh. I think you're right, and I feel really good like you do about this team. And I think right now the expectation should be NFC Championship game, like at least get there, and then we'll see what happens. You know, assuming Detroit's on the other side.
So I'm with you there. And then as far as the Joel Embiid thing goes, and I'm going to hitch my wagon right to Hugh. So think about this, right? This guy has been the product of losing. He doesn't understand. He's been allowed to do so much that for us to pull the reins on that right now, it's impossible. And as crazy as this is going to sound, I've wanted him out of town for the past 3 years. I'm all in with Chuck from Mount Airy. Like, he's got a stench to him that no matter what we talk about or what we say we want out of him, it's never, never going to change the individual. He is not changeable at this point. And let me give you an example. Let's also just get into the time machine not that far ago, go back in time not that far ago, and really focus up on some of the things that were coming out of that Olympic camp with Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr didn't want to coach him. You know what I mean?
He didn't want to play him. I mean, not Josh, it was supposed to be a spot for him to learn and get through osmosis, all that great stuff, and it actually became more of a referendum on what he just is. I mean, Hugh, you've referenced that. He went to the Olympics, and at one point, they didn't want to play him anymore. Like, that said a lot.
Yeah, that was telling to me about as far as his health was concerned.
Yep.
You know, and things of that nature, and then we turned around and we gave him $190 million. That
on
was
top
kinda,
of things,
yeah. That was interesting, but for me, this whole thing about trying to get Joel Embiid to change now, I think it's too little, too late. And I think the biggest evidence is when he said after the game last night, who told on me?
That's you paraphrased it, but that's really basically what it was.
I mean, basically you said, who told on me? I mean, because, Joe, to be honest, as a petty individual myself, that was the first thing I thought about.
You did, yeah.
I was like, hey, I wonder how did this get out now? Because That's when my wheels start turning. I'm like, wow, he's been in the game 10 years. And we've heard people say all of this stuff about him in the past and it's never gotten out. The fact that the way the Marcus Hayes story was handled, all of this, and now it comes to this and you expect him to change. I don't know who thought that it was a good idea to publicly try to shame this cat thinking that he was going to do the right thing or what you wanted him to do or you know, light a fire under. I mean, he played well, but how is this sustainable? I think he's playing well because he's more mad at the person who told on him instead of, you know, the team aspect of it. He's more upset about the story getting out.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I also think great players are self-motivated. How many times has it been Doc Rivers or Brett Brown or us or Shaq or Barkley or this team meeting? How many people have tried to light a fire under Joel Embiid? And it doesn't happen. Like, see, either you're self-motivated and you want to be truly great, or you're not. Like, enough. They tried it, and that's okay. I'm okay with Tyrese Maxey trying it. But after a while, it becomes like, all right, keep trying.
It tells me all I need to know that, and it's going to sound like a leap because I'm going to say some names that you should say, you know, Joel Embiid should never be in the same breath as these guys. But that's sort of, it's a contrast, not a comparison here. Somebody like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, they are the ones that demand excellence from their teammates.
Yep.
Joel Embiid should be demanding excellence from the rest of his team. For him to be for a 24-year-old player to say, dude, lock in, is completely ridiculous.
And it just, you don't find, like, go through NBA history, try to find the player like this that won a title. You just won't do it. I mean, because it just doesn't happen that way. 215-592-9490 for this hour, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, we got a lot to do here, Hugh, the rest of this show. Coming up,
what we got?
At 1 o'clock, Buster Olney, ESPN, will join us. He's going to give us the latest on the Phillies. Alec Bohm, he's the one that's been writing and saying a lot. Alec Bohm is very likely to get traded. Where could he go? I saw a rumor 2 days ago the Royals were interested. Like, what could we get back? I think we've all kind of discussed and thought that Bohm might be out of here. All right, well, what are the Phillies going to get back for a player like Alec Bohm? We'll ask Buster Olney. And what's going on with Juan Soto here? I mean, because the Phillies are now, according to a couple insiders, like, they're on the list, right? John Heyman saying they're going to get a meeting. Jim Bowden of The Athletic saying they're one of the 5 teams that really have a real chance to sign him. How real is the idea that I changed my name legally to Juan? I mean, that's what I'm wondering today. So we'll talk to Buster Olney coming up. Later in the show, kiss the baby, as we'll eliminate another NFL team. On the other side, Jalen Hurts popped up on the injury report yesterday. What to make of that? And a little throwback Thursday before a game against the Rams. 215-592-9490 for all your phone calls on Embiid. Would you tank the rest of the season to try to go get Cooper Flag? Just sit Embiid down, sit George down, who's now hurt again, and we'll see how significant it is. And, of course, the Eagles. Would you extend Nick Sirianni's contract right now? We'll discuss it all. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.